Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Deficit Show. It is the boxing way with Lady A, and we remember Donna Summer. At the same time, we too say happy birthday to two of the class acts in the sweet science. The man tapped as the number one fighter of his decade, Sugar Ray Charles Leonard, and our good friend, the incomparable promoter extraordinaire, the Bella. But we open every show here with John Coltrane, the legendary Dear Lord, as we pay homage to our Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. And we thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted, dear Lord. And more importantly, dear Lord, let your way be our way. And dear Lord, we thank you for another day. As my mother said, clothed in our right mind. We thank you, dear Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessings forthcoming that have come, and all undeserved. We ask you to help the Summer family now as they grieve this loss of their daughter, their sister, their cousin, and one of our true legends in the business. And we celebrate the birth of Sugar Ray Charles Leonard and Lou DiBella as we celebrate their birthdays today. And we just want to take this time out, the Lord, to thank you for being our God. For you're God all by yourself. You may not be everybody's God, but you're God all by yourself. And we honor you, we praise you, and that of your darlings in Jesus. And we ask these blessings, all of the blessings, in your holy name. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network Show, the Lady A, the boxing way with Lady A. And we open the show. Lady A is here along with Mel Cosell. I'm looking for the Mambo Kid, the former WBO middleweight kickboxing champion, Alex Moser, a host of SNN Radio, and Mr. Greg Jones will probably join us too as we push in here memories of Donna Summer. Happy birthday to Ray Charles Leonard and Lou DiBella, and talk some sweet science, get the kick. I had some interesting things too. I got the call from the Mambo Kid yesterday. Gave me a call. Hey, Doc, how you doing? This is Mambo Kid. Hey, the Mambo, and we're talking for a while. And he said, look, Doc, I'd like to talk to you about some things. And told me to come on down, have lunch. Great lunch today. I want to thank you for lunch again. He has his own reality show, too, The Warrior's Way of Life. And we got a chance to talk. Like some interesting things. Here's a guy, you know, he had a great line. You know, born in New Jersey, got into boxing. He has sparred with the sweetheart. Probably the only man that Lady A will probably show more attention to outside of Howard Weston Jr., Roy Jones Jr., Buddy McGirt, who was the first guest I ever had on my show here on Sports in Depth, my good friend Buddy McGirt, and also he sparred with James Toney, and he's a very good friend of the man outside of Joe Louis, who had the longest reign as heavyweight champion of the world, former sparring partner of the greatest, Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes. And I was talking to Mambo Kid. He had two great lines, you know, and he's working, his goal is like Jim Brown, to work with the youth and to get them on a positive road. And it was something, too, that he said. He said, I hate fighting. I'm just good at it. Okay, and Lady okay. A, you know, we've got... things happening. One of the things that, you know, we talked about this earlier, the proposed fight between Paulie Malignaggi and Zab Judah. And as we laughed about it last night, me and Mel Cosell and Dusty, you know, both guys are Brooklyn guys, but they're now living in Vegas. But the only way this fight's going to sell, Lady A, is at the Aviator. Or I think they could get a nice crowd together in the Paramount in Madison Square Garden. What do you think?
Well, I mean, they're two guys from Brooklyn, so I could see it taking off at the Aviator gym. I think that they're trying to do more fights at Aviator too, Doc. I think, like, was it last month or was it in March that they had that fight in Aviator and Zab Judah fought?
Because we had talked to Mark and Michael Bent, the big card, your Sergio Martinez. I sent you a big email about him today. He's waiting on the winner mm-hmm. for upcoming fight. Yeah, we had the that Saturday, the St. Patrick's Day fight, and then the following week they had that card there, which turned out to be a heck of a card in the sense of just attendance alone. Don King, greatest promoter ever in the history of boxing. Riddick, Big Daddy Bo was there. Of course, Mark Breland had showed up. And then I heard that one of the trainers there was the former light heavyweight champion of the world, the former Eddie the Flame Gregory, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. So they had a nice array of champions and clientele.
It's funny we're talking about that too, Doc, because I just happened to be looking through the fight schedule, and I think they have a fight June 2nd at the Aviator coming up now. This is going to be a 10-round middleweight fight. Saddam World Kid Ali versus Franklin Gonzalez. Yeah. So we get a fight. We'll see.
Okay, before we go any further, Mel Cosell will come in. And Mel Cosell, would you welcome the Sports of Neff Nation to Sports In Depth?
Well, it'll be a pleasure, Doc. Hello. Welcome. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. Our Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network and the straw that stirs the drink. Doc Stanley is here. Take it away, Doc.
Thanks, Rooney. You know, to others, I am somebody. Thanks a lot. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network of the show, and letting you know that right off the jump, a couple of things that I just had to bring up. Wait, Mumbo Kid, did you join us yet, Mumbo? Is Mumbo here? Waiting for the Mumbo Kid. And is Alex in with us here? Waiting for Alex to join.
I am.
There she is. Okay. Alex, because we're going to talk a little bit right now, because she's en route to another situation, and I asked Mr. Greg Jones. All of you know Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul here, a couple things happening in the show, Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories. That's every Sunday right here at 7:30, and it's about the moms and family. Neil Blake, CEO and founder of Blake Radio, he's got a show coming on here on the 21st, Neil Blake Online. That'll be 7:30 with Angela Johnson as his guest. The next day, the Abdullah Show, that is going to come on at 8 o'clock. Neil's show is a 10 o'clock show. 7:30 is the Aunt Jewel Show. That's Sunday. And then on the 21st, Neil Blake is online with Angela Johnson. That's a 10 p.m. start. The Abdullah Show, that's at 8 o'clock on the 22nd. And their guest will be Denise Nichols. Man, that's a name from the past. Denise Nichols. Wow. Wow, one of the pretty ladies, one of the few African-American stars on TV and radio. That's on the 22nd. And then the next day on the 23rd, the Sugar and Spice Show. That's a 6:30 start. And she's another one of the former alumni from SJR from radio, along with Destino Baby Luz, who had the that big Latin show. Man, Dusty had a monster Latin show over there. But we've got them all there. One more time, timetable for you. Forthcoming show here is on Blake Radio Rainbow Soul this Sunday. At 7:30, Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories, more moms for moms and family. And she's here every Sunday, 7:30 at that time. Sunday at 9 o'clock, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth with the crew. We're here 9 to 11 every Sunday looking to get Askeem Jeffries, Assemblyman, to join us. And we're still trying to get a hold of Leonard Ellerby. But Sunday, 7:30, Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories, 9 to 11, Sports In Depth with the crew. You heard Rooney, and he and the rest of the crew will be here. And then on the 21st, Neil Blake Online with Angela Johnson. That is a 10 o'clock start. 8 o'clock the next day, the Abdullah Show with Denise Nichols. and she's going to be the guest. And then Sugar and Spice comes on the 23rd, a 6:30 start for a former alumni of SARF Radio. That is it. You know, Donna Summers passed away. Alex, I know you're in the entertainment field. I got a chance to meet Miss Summer. Actually, when I was working with the legendary, two legends they are, Gloria Gaynor. Gloria Gaynor, Miss Summer, had invited us down to her show at Madison Square Garden. Ironic that was, Rooney, you know, when I got to that show, I was sitting next to her. Hey, how you doing? It was the great catcher for the Yankees, and people may say what they want. He's got Hall of Fame numbers, Jorge Posada. And we sat there with him and his wife, and then we went backstage to meet Miss Summer. Ricky Martin opened that show up, a tremendous show at the Garden. And when I got back there, her book was just coming out, Donna Summer, Ordinary Girl, The Journey, with Mark Elliott. And she gave both me and Gloria a copy. She had one for Gloria, and she happened to have one left. And she said, to Melvin, love Donna Summer, a great artist, a great human being, and she'll be missed. It's just amazing. She was a New Year's Eve baby, born on the 31st of December, and she'll be missed. Alex, are you still with us? I think I may have lost Alex. Alex, you still there?
Sorry about that.
Alex?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Alex, your thoughts on Donna Summer, great artist and reflection on what she was to the entertainment world.
Oh, well, I'm from the younger generation, but rest assured we do know who Miss Summer is. Last Dance being one of the more popular favorites. I always remember the episode of Family Matters. That's how I was introduced to her. The episode of Family Matters when she out-sang, I think it was Carl Winslow. But also upon further research, you know, she was the first African-American female to be nominated for an MTV award, which is kind of a big deal because MTV was very pop and, you know, not really crossing over to soul and funk. So she definitely contributed a lot in her own right.
You know, it's amazing you say that because the evening that we were together with her, Miss Gaynor, because there was sort of this misconception that there was a rivalry. And, you know, Gloria, as we look back on it, Gloria is the only disco artist ever to win a Grammy. And now here, Miss Summer was the first one ever to nominate for the MTV Award. Now, your show, can you tell us a little bit about your show?
Oh, of course. Well, first off, on my shows and on my blog, I go by the name of Lady Steel. So that's how most people would know me. But my show is pretty much an open, it's a radio show for 2 hours every Thursday at 10, and we pretty much discuss sex. You know, we're all adults, and I think that in the year 2012, nobody's just having missionary sex anymore. So we just, you know, bring to light real issues as it pertains in the bedroom and sprinkle a little intermission of celebrity gossip and news.
Celebrity gossip, boy, that always works. S&M. And now, and you're originally a Brooklyn girl, Brooklyn lady. Am I correct?
Oh yes, I'm a Brooklyn girl to the heart.
Brooklyn girl to the highest. BK Brooklyn, ironically, the borough of churches. We've also got.
Hello.
You know,
anybody hear me?
Yeah, who's speaking?
Mambo
Hang on, Mambo. I knew you were gonna mambo your way in here. You know.
But the minute I start here in Brooklyn, you know, coming from Queens, you know, that it just.
whatever.
You know, the thing that I like with having you here, Mambo, we've got Mel Smith Jr., Little Coco. You know, he's been into the kickboxing, Rooney. And I just wondered, you know, there was questions you had for him as you were in you know, WWF. There's, I guess there's a lot of the similarities in what you guys go through. I mean, Mambo was telling me, and incidentally, Mambo has his own reality show, The Warrior's Life, every Tuesday at 6:30 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Live World Network. But the thing that struck me about you today, Mambo, and talking about so many things, and you know, you talked about No, you were in a gang, the Deuces 22, and you saying, you know, right now there's only, what, two of you guys live?
Well, actually, there were 22 of us, but there's only three of us alive. Two, they're not in prison. I'm one of the two.
And can you talk about how you got into boxing? Because boxing was the springboard to kickboxing, correct?
I actually got into boxing in 1985 through a youth house program in Sussex Avenue and in Newark, New Jersey. But I eventually got into kickboxing in 1994, but I was actively competing in boxing before I got into kickboxing, and I feel like the title that I have, I won it mainly because I'm very good at using my hands. A lot of kickboxers are not really good with their hands as they should be, but, I love boxing. You know, I'm from the old school, you know, Marvin Hagler, you know, Thomas Hearn. You know, Larry Holmes, and Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes being a good friend of mine. You know, this is the golden age of boxing.
Yeah, that no question about it. That was it. I mean, I remember Kenny Norton said about how much of an input Cosell had, along with, of course, Ali, who did so much to carry. To not to promote the sport. I mean, Ali carried it, but you look back at right the Golden Age, and Lady A, he sparred with one of the people you like so much, Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, man. When I first sparred him, I was sparring for like 4 weeks, but the first 2 weeks I was wearing an ass whooping like Armani suit. Hello, am I supposed to? I can't see that word. Okay, I'm sorry, but. You know, that was a experience. I sparred a lot of world boxing champions, and, you know, it's part of my schooling, I think.
Okay, now, you talked about sparring with Tony. You talked about sparring with Roy. Also, another good friend of mine, James Buddy McGirt. I mean, you got a chance.
I used to spar with Buddy McGirt when I was literally a teenager, and that was probably one of the most special moments of my life. He really taught me a lot. That man is a doctor when it comes to the sweet science of boxing.
He really is, Doc. I was saying that before, yeah. That Buddy is an excellent trainer, an excellent tactician, and he has and I'm sure Mambo would agree, he has a fighter's mind. He can pinpoint strengths and weaknesses very, very quickly. He's very good at that.
You know, Ronnie, ironically enough, too, Buddy told me he always wanted to be a trainer. I mean, way beyond being a fighter, he said he wanted to be a trainer. You know, he's the guy that wanted to catch. He wasn't worried about playing shortstops in the field, and he's turned out to be one of the great trainers and one of the last trainers of any really renowned or distinction. I mean, I've said, I think, Lady A, you agree, he extended the career of Toyo Gotti.
Oh, my goodness, of course. I think, if anything, I think had Arturo continued to fight the way that he was fighting early on in his career, he would have lasted as long as he did in the fight game.
Show, and this is the Boxing Way with Lady A. This is our special segment during the week where we talk to Sweet Science with the sweetest practitioner of it here on Blake Radio. And at the same time, today is the birthday of Ray Charles Leonard, the number one fighter for Mel Cosell Smith, and one of the guys that we've always respected and had a great rapport with, and thanks so much of Lou DiBella. So we send happy birthday to Lou, Sweet Lou, and Sweet Sugar. And at the same time, sorrow is here as we've lost the late, great Donna Summer. Rooney, you had something to interject?
Thank you, Doctor. Yes, I wanted to ask Mambo some questions. Obviously, we have similar backgrounds in regard to me, being involved with the wrestling background, and Mambo being in the martial arts and boxing. Mambo, I just wanted to know, how would you break down the style of our late great, and I think the greatest martial artist of all time, Bruce Lee? And number two, if you ever had any interest in possibly competing
or if you would have, if you know, they had had this going on when you, you know, first going into the RC, UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Well, it's funny you brought that up. Number one, to answer your question, Bruce Lee was way ahead of his time. You know, the system he created, he could go. The UFC is today. He was a pioneer in the martial arts. You know, he was he created his own style, and his own style is really not a style at all, because he Jeet Kune Do was to absorb what is useful and to abandon what is useless, and that was one of the first books I ever read, the Tao of Jeet Kune Do. So I am a very big fan of Bruce Lee. Number two. You know, I have fought amateur MMA when I was in Europe, and you know, I'm pretty good, but at it. But I'm 40 years old, but I have worked with many great MMA fighters, BJ Penn, Alistair Overeem,
who was one of my BJ Penn. I just for the uninitiated, Doc, and not to interrupt you, Mom, but I just want the fans of you who may not be familiar with UFC and Ultimate Fighting and Mixed Martial Arts, that the people that Mambo has worked with, and one of the names that he just mentioned, and BJ Penn is legend. But please continue.
He's a two-time UFC champion. I'm very proud to call him a friend, and definitely was a jiu-jitsu prodigy. He was actually the first American ever to win the Mundial tournament in Brazil, and that was a tournament that was always dominated by Brazilians. And him and his brother, they're like masters in jiu-jitsu. And mind you, these are guys that just love to fight. They have a father who's a multimillionaire speaker. You know, they grew up in money. But these guys love the sport. They love to fight. And you know what? I was very honored in meeting and knowing him. Alistair Overeem, on the other hand, who I'm still very honored in meeting and knowing, somehow, you know, he got caught up in the whole drug testing thing. And you know what, Alex, if you're listening out there, you know, I got your back, man. I don't understand. There's a lot of UFC guys that juice. And you know what, I mean, whether they juice or they get caught in it, either way, right now, I'm hoping actually I reached out to him earlier today, and I'm hoping that he, you know,
recovers,
get over this,
recovers, regained, and once again gets back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, because you know, America, everybody loves the comeback story, and you know what, I you know, I'm involved in this new fight league called Free Fight X, and I'm hoping that Alistair would be one of the main guys involved in the same company that I am, and you know, I mean, I could talk to the promoters and the owners of it, and you know, he'll be embraced with open arms, because in actuality, everybody loves a comeback story. Charles Sonnen, who was tested positive for drugs after he got beat by Anderson Silva, he's getting a rematch with Anderson Silva in Brazil. So, I mean, you know, UFC, they got to just, you know, let it go. There's going to be fighters that's going to use juice. To be quite honest with you, growing up, I looked at everything like a street fight. And, you know, in a street fight, you know, there might be guys I run into. And sorry about the guys. I'm in the street, you know, talking to you because I'm headed to a party right now. But this guy that runs to the street, he might be juicy or not. You know what? You disrespect me, disrespect my woman, I'm going to knock you out. I don't care how much drug you use. But that's the state of mind that I have. So if somebody, I'm sure I've fought many guys that use steroids. I've beaten many guys. And you know what? Hey, the way I look at it, if we were met on the street, the situation, the outcome would still be the same.
Mumbo, didn't Ken Shamrock just have some kind of trouble with the commission in regard to testing positive for some type of performance enhancer?
Ken Shamrock?
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought it was one of those kind of old-timers, you know, like Return of the Legends.
I have nothing against Ken Shamrock. I'm actually a friend of his brother, Frank Shamrock. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm the kind of person that, you know, heavy use of steroids builds huge acne. I remember the last time I seen Ken Shamrock, he fought on the UFC when my kickbox instructor, Larry Thunderfoot Curison, fought in the UFC 7. This was the early years of the UFC.
And I remember looking at Ken Shamrock, and I remember how he had all these pimples in the back of his legs and his hamstring. You don't get stuff like that. I don't know too many people that get type of acne like that behind your hamstrings unless you've been seriously using. But, you know, that's my opinion.
Your opinion. Maybe a pretty good one. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel Sports Depth of the show. The Mambo Kid is in house with us. Greg Jones. Did Greg get in here? Mr. G, you here with us yet? I thought Greg Jones was going to join us. He should try to get us. We've got Lady A. We've got the first lady of sports, Lady A, Mel Cosell. And we've got our lady from Brooklyn. I've got an extra call here now. Maybe somebody just listening in. But let me see. We've got Lady A.
Otherwise known as Awesome A.
Awesome A. Hey, you hear that, Lady A? Awesome A. Okay. Did I lose my host? Alex, are you still with us?
Okay,
here. Okay, Alex, great. Okay, Lady Alex, good. Alex, your show, in today's society, S&M, can you talk about some of the subjects that you talk about on your show?
it's definitely not for the faint of heart, but our S&M is just a play on words. It means sexy and mature because we discuss a lot of mature topics.
Such as
sex on the period, or even guys that like to perform oral sex while you're on your period, or if you've ever been kind of caught out there in the club, you meet a nice woman just to go home and find out it's a man. Like, we go out there, anal sex, giving, receiving, male, female. We've covered a lot of crazy things.
As they say, leaving no stone unturned.
I can't wait to hear Alex's. I can't wait to hear Alex's show, Doc. But by the way, do you think we should play? You think we should play our disclaimer right about now?
But you know what? Maybe the switchboard started lighting up even more. You know what I mean? Rudy, that was. I'm going to get to that, but you know, it's not that time yet. But maybe we need maybe a small breather, Mike. We don't need a disclaimer, right? Doc Stanley's forcing up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, forcing up at the show. It's the boxing way with Lady A, and we're going to make sure that she has her say. As we continue to talk about the sweet science and to have our guests here, and also get a chance to get the Mumble Kid one. Thanks once again for a tremendous, had a nice lunch there and a big education, learning that he is so much like Jim Brown. But you know what? Let's take just a quick breather. Everybody, just exhale for a minute.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
There it is. Mambo, that you shout at me, Mambo? Did Mr. Jones join us yet?
Yeah, I'm here. Doc?
Okay, Greg. Greg, I want to get at you a minute. We got, of course, the first lady of sports, Lady A, the sweet S&M. Had the Mambo Kid here. I think he will come back to us, and Mel Cosell. Greg, get in here real quick. We just want to, you know, the thing that I want to get with you, then, believe me, lady, we got to talk. We got some boxing things coming up. Good, more than a good 30, 40 minutes up. It's been a 90 minutes a night special. Greg, did people really expect the Knicks to beat the Miami Heat without Lynn and without a healthy Stoudemire? And now the other question is, can we expect the Miami Heat to go to the finals without Bosch? Question number one, did people really expect the Knicks to beat the Miami Heat with Stoudemire and Jeremy Lin out?
Well, Doc, I think it was a wonderful dream. I think we dreamt it. Those of us who've been around and rooted for the Knicks for over 40 years, you know, had visions of the 1970 and 1973 championship runs and even in 99. But I think if we had to be realistic, Doc, even a healthy Knicks team would have had its issues against this Miami Heat team with the big three healthy.
Okay, now the question is, the big three is not healthy anymore. Okay, Bosch, I think, may be out for the rest of the playoffs. I have to check with the Hoopster. So now the question is, and they've lost a game to the Pacers. It's amazing, you know. they lose to the Pacers, and everybody—not everybody, but you know, these writers—you know how they come up and question
what?
They're pointing the finger at Wade, or they're pointing the finger at LeBron. But here's what I'm pointing: can Miami get back to the finals without Bosch?
I don't think they can, Doc. I think it's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough road. I think without Bosch now, I mean LeBron and Wade can step up and probably can get him there. I think it's just going to be a tough road. Their bench is really going to have to excel now. And I think Bosch is going to be a huge loss. That's a big piece to the big three. And I think if they have to go up against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, with Kevin Garnett playing the way he's playing now, Paul Pierce, Rondo, I don't think Miami can beat him now. I think I would give Boston the edge.
Well, you
this
know,
is assuming,
I mean, if
assuming
you're correct,
they're past the Pacers.
Yeah. Well, that's coming. We want, at this time too, I want to say congratulations to a friend of mine and a person who we have a couple things of his in the Sports In Depth Trust in God Hall of Fame Museum. Larry Bird, Executive of the Year. I think he may be the only guy to win the MVP, to win the Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year. Larry Bird from French Lick, Indiana. Larry, congratulations. As we also extend sympathy wishes to the Summer family and the loss of our legendary Donna Summer. And happy birthday to Sweet Lou DiBella and Sugar Ray Leonard. Lady A, and moving to boxing
happy
now.
Happy birthday to Sugar Ray. This is Lou, your Mambo again.
Okay. What's that, Mambo?
Well, I'm sorry. I got bad reception where I'm at, so that thing cuts off sometimes.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll see you. We'll bring you back. And Lady A, any questions for the Mambo kid from a boxing standpoint of view with the kickboxing?
Kickboxing? No.
No. I mean, he's a former WBA kickboxing champion.
Let me about to turn off Mambo right quick, Doc. Mambo,
yeah.
I just wanted to say coming up, and I also wanted to mention to our very vast audience that they have a huge heavyweight super fight coming up shortly, pitting former UFC heavyweight champion and submission specialist Frank Mir going up against Junior Dos Santos. I believe he is indeed from Brazil. I'm not 100% on that, Mambo, but Junior Dos Santos, a vicious striker, you know, excellent puncher, knockout artist, going up against Frank Mir, who's well, the current champion is indeed Junior Dos Santos, who won that championship by knocking out Cain Velasquez in short order. Facing Frank Mir, who I believe Mambo has more UFC victories than any other heavyweight, and more victories by submission. You've been a kickboxer, a submission specialist, would know all about that.
Well, let me tell you, you know, the beautiful thing about the UFC and mixed martial arts is finally kickboxers are getting their due. You got guys that kickbox. And, I mean, mind you, if I was just 10 years younger, I would be all involved in it right now. Because all with the kickboxers, they're learning the jiu-jitsu. George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, very famous kickboxers. They learn the jiu-jitsu on the ground, and then they dominate in the UFC. Now, one of the things that I realized, Dos Santos, you know, he's going to knock Frank Mir out. The fight won't last that long. But I'm going to tell you, if he'd have fought my guy, Alistair, it would have been a problem. And that's one of the things I'm really upset about. Alistair, you know, I worked with him, and, you know, I as far as slipping punches, Dos Santos is only as deadly as he could catch it. And Alistair actually learned how to get out of the way out of a lot of stuff, and that was, you know, that was speaking from the understanding of me. But, you know, because he was, you know, I worked with him. But, you know, I just feel that Dos Santos is going to knock out,
Frank Beer. It's going to be a short fight, and hopefully Alistair would get some kind of redemption, or maybe remove this whatever it is that they talk about the steroid use and really get back in there and claim the undisputed title that he should have had before this whole thing came down.
Leaving no stone unturned. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake with an Urban Rainbow Solo Channel Sports Up Show. Of course, background music from Brazil, that they seem to be the dominant factors in this venue. And at the same time, no matter when we run Sports in Depth, one of our dedicated listeners is out of Rio de Janeiro. Not Rio de Janeiro. In Portuguese, it's Rio de Janeiro. My dear friend Rosie, she's listening tonight. I want to say thanks so much to her for her dedication and her faithfulness to Sports in Depth, and even beyond that, as a friend. Lady A, there's talk, Andy Lee against Chavez, and Sergio Martinez gets the win of that fight. To me, it's no question he beats either guy, but the money fight would be him against Chavez, and that would seem to be the fight that break more money. But the two questions to you. You agree that's the more money fight, and can Andy Lee, with Emmanuel Stewart in his corner, can he beat Chavez? And yes, Rosie, it's Rio de Janeiro. Can Lee beat Chavez? And no question, I think it's a no-brainer. Chavez against Martinez is a bigger money fight than Martinez against Lee.
Oh, yeah, of course. Hands down. It's a bigger money fight because of the fan base that Chavez brings. And especially now that Freddie Roach is not going to be his trainer now.
What happened there, lady?
Well, I don't know what happened. I just know that for some reason now he's not going to be training Chavez for this next fight. And he's also going to be training at Top Ranks Boxing Club now. Alex Ariza is going to be his strength conditioning coach. He's still going to be his strength conditioning coach. But Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. is overseeing his boxing workouts for this next fight. So we'll see what ends up happening with that.
Is Lee that much of a worry? That his dad is now watching overseeing these things? I mean, what does Lee bring to the table? I mean, is Lee better than? Well, it doesn't take a lot to beat Chavez Jr. But does Lee have what's necessary?
I mean, you remember watching him? Remember watching that fight that we saw him fight in Atlantic City, right?
Yeah, AC, huh?
He's a good fighter. But
no question about it. Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
He's not a pushover.
I could definitely see,
just for money purposes and because DiBella is trying to get him a big money fight, I would like to see the Martinez-Chavez fight. I would like to see that fight.
Oh,
and I think it's only fair that Martinez gets that fight. Has he had issues the last two fights with these European fighters? Yes. You could make the claim that, like we've talked in the past, that he hasn't really been able to put away these fighters the way he should have. Remember the fight in Atlantic City, Doc, when he fought? Darren Barker.
But the thing that we both said is that the bottom line is when the smoke cleared, he had a W.
Right.
When the smoke cleared, it's a W. That great line that the late Georgie Benton used to tell his fighters, look good your next fight, just win tonight. Lady A, don't move. It's just about our halftime move here. Let's do our halftime spot disclaimer, and, we'll be right back. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show, The Boxing Way with Lady A. It's our weekly segment where we bring the first lady of boxing and sports into the studio here, and she profiles, highlights, and leads the way. Mel Cosell, the Mambo Kid, is here. So, first lady from SM and Greg Jones. Don't anybody move. We've got to hit this commercial. Then we'll be right back on Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth for the show. DocStanleySports.com. If you want to get a look into the Trust in God Sports in Depth Hall of Fame, www.com. DocBlakeRadio.com for a donation. Don't anybody say, don't move a muscle.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports in Depth, the show. The voice you hear that brings us on and takes us off is that of Larry Hardesty, the ESPN sideline reporter for New York Jets, the greatest African-American sportscast in the history of New York City radio, which makes him the greatest of all time. One of the disciples, as I am too, of the great Hal Jackson. 97 years old. Hal was last year. He's working on 98. The great book, Hal Jackson, House that Jack Built, My Life as a Trailblazer in Broadcasting Entertainment. Hal Jackson was the Jackie Robinson of African-Americans in broadcasting. He was the first everything. The first sportscaster, the first DJ. He knows in and everybody, and everybody seems beholden to Hal. I mean, Stevie Wonder and all. And Larry Hardesty was just so enamored and thankful that he is a part of Sports in Depth. And we always thank you all for listening in. We also take this time out to once again say happy birthday to Ray Charles Leonard. You know, it's a funny thing, a little story. And I have a pair of autographed boxing gloves by Ray Charles Leonard, as well as the poster. Ray Leonard only fought one time ever in Madison Square Garden, and in the Trust in God Sports and Deaf Artifacts Entertainment Hall of Fame, I have the autographed boxing poster by him and Terry Norris. I have a pair of boxing shoes from Terry Norris, who was the man who beat Ray at his only fight in Madison Square Garden. Ray Leonard is named after Ray Charles, the singer. And the story is told that, you know, he had to ask. He asked Sugar Ray, could he use the prefix of Sugar? And Sugar Ray Robinson's real name was not Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Robinson's real name was Walker Smith Jr. Now, this is really funny, and I've telling Ray about that one time. Ray Charles' name is Ray Robinson. So Ray Leonard was really named after the real Ray Robinson. Ray Charles' name is Ray Charles Robinson. But when he came on the scene, they said, hey, man, what's your name? He said, Ray Robinson. They said, whoa. That ain't going to work. You know, what's your? So they named him Ray Charles. Now, ironically, people don't know that Joe Louis' name was not Joe Louis. Joe Louis' name was Joe Louis Barrows. Like a lot of people in the era, not wanting their family to know that they were into boxing, he dropped the Barrows and became Joe Louis. Lady A, now, what's happening here? You talked about Chavez, Martinez is the bigger fight, but Andy Lee could upset the apple cart.
Oh, of course. But like we've discussed, Lou DiBella, he's a smart promoter. And I think everybody's been wanting to see Martinez fight Chavez. He should have fought him. What was it?
Okay,
was it
okay,
like
lady,
fight
question,
before last?
What has been the holdup then? Again, Lady A, again, is this top rank again? Which means, is this Barbarian again?
How shocking.
What you say? Ladies and gentlemen, that's why she's not only the most beautiful, but she is the most brief.
And then, Doc, I got a quick one for Awesome A. Lady A, my, you know, we talked about this earlier, and even though I see
Martinez?
Chavez not really winning that fight against Martinez at all. I see him winning that fight relatively easily.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, Lady A, I have some questions in regard to, I know his fighting style is a, you know, kind of stick his chin out and try to make others commit and counter it, which he's great at. But I just happen to think, just my personal opinion, and I told you this after you covered that fight at the guard not long ago, that Martinez has just been a little too cute lately, eh?
Well,
I mean, I know his style is to make you commit, but he's been a little too cute lately for my
Buddy
day.
Buddy McGirt was Matthew Macklin's trainer in the last fight. And one of the things that he told his guy was that you can't fall for the traps that Martinez puts out there. And that's one of the traps he tries to do. He tries to draw you in. He's incredibly fast, and he's incredibly elusive, and he holds his hands down. And a lot of guys are like, oh, well, why do you do that? You know, you're allowing somebody to come in and hit you, if you know. But it's part of the way he fights. And
his style is his modus operandi.
And that style is what's allowed him to set up those traps. If you look at him in the last fight with Matthew Macklin, right? There were some people that thought that fight was a lot closer than what it was.
The same thing with the Barker fight. A lot of people.
When you look at the judges, one judge, I think Carlos Ortiz had it 105-101. Don Trella had it 105-101, and then Julie Letterman had it 103-103. That was the Matthew Macklin fight.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you look at the Darren Barker fight, you look at it, it was still close. You know, our boy Eddie Cotton refereed that one, Doc, the Darren Barker fight.
Big Eddie.
You had Lynn Carter, 96-94, Victor Lachlan, 97-94, and Haro Roshin Mapula, 99-91. So he was the only guy that felt it was more toward Martinez. The other two judges found it 96-94. That's a close fight, Doc.
96-94, 97-94? At one point, I had him winning. You know, he was leading the fight.
Right.
Well, I mean, okay, here's the question, Lady A. And you know, you're coming from both sides of the board. Is Martinez that good?
Oh, yeah. I think he is.
He's a really good fighter, Doc. No doubt he is.
I think
Five
he is.
Like
and
Lady
you know what's
A
disappointing
said,
to me, Doc?
Reflexes,
when you look at what's disappointing to me, Doc, when you look at who he's fought in the last 3 years, 4 years, there haven't been pushover guys. I mean, he fought Cintron. He fought Paul Williams twice. He fought Kelly Pavlik. This kid, Darren Barker, you and I went
Lady
to see
A,
him fight.
There's no argument here, and the thing that Destino Baby Lois brought to the point that, you know, he's fighting. Lou is bringing in foreign guys who get a chance to fight on American soil, but
that's
he's bringing guys in that can fight. And
that's right.
This keeps Martinez not only sharp, but fighting against top ranked, top rated competition.
Right.
And then, you know, Alex, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, from a stand, you know, sex has always been something that supposedly fighters have to abstain from when training. I remember Harold always said, you know, didn't do it. But the big thing about Ingemar Johansson was that, you know, he kind of threw that whole thing out the window when he fought Patterson, and then it seemed to work because not only did he knocked Patterson out for the title. Is there a different mindset that athletes have towards sex than non-athletes?
I'm pretty sure that there has to be a different mindset. I mean, when they do have it, I'm not sure. Like, athletes are very weird. A lot of them tend to have a god complex. But I'm pretty sure that the mindset.
Hold on. You said a god. Now define that for us.
I am whoever I am and bow down. Like, you should just be happy that you're sliming my pole.
Lady A, she gave me a line today when I was in the office with the Mambo Kid, and we were talking, and she was talking about athletes, and it was very, you know, life is such a Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network, the show, and boxing way with Lady A. And she said, you know, women think baseball players are the best-looking of athletes. She said the ladies did with the basketball players because, yeah, I mean, they're kind of beastly-looking, but, you know, they make money. And she said, you know, football players seem to be the most financially solvent. And she gave me this great line about basketball players. She said, you know, the mentality of basketball players is, she said, when you meet them at the club, by the time you leave the club, you're just about engaged to them. And I just thought that was just a heck of a... It's just about engaged to them. And so,
you know, Doc, let me speak on that just momentarily, Doc, as a former athlete. And especially this works for the boxers, okay, Doc? It's not so much physical. I mean, it actually does take away your legs, but not so much to the fact that it'll affect your performance all that much if, you know, if you do the proper cardio and what have you as far as being in great shape. What it does, especially for the fighters, Doc, is it's a mental thing. You know, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, I was with this woman. Is that going to mess with my preparation? You know, it's actually more of a mental, because if you've done, you know, your cardio and your sparring and whatnot, you know, physically, you know, you'll be ready to fight in, you know, maybe a night or two of pleasure, you know, as long as you're not an everyday Casanova, really shouldn't affect you that much. What it does affect, however, it affects you mentally in regard to, oh, my, man,
you made a tremendous point.
Yeah,
Mooney,
I'm going to take away from that. I think it's very mental, and I think you have to be very disciplined, which is one positive, I think, that most athletes have over everybody else, is that they're able to be disciplined. Discipline makes for, it should make for great sex, but you never know. Every individual is
different.
Hold on,
back at that.
But
discipline how? Where does discipline, does discipline give you staying power? Is it a mental thing? Where does discipline?
Everything. If you can abstain from sex because you feel that, first off, you are acknowledging that there is something greater out there or more important than busting a nut. That's already, like, you're already in a league of your own, or, like, a small percentage of the world.
In other words, Doc, it kind of messes with your mental preparation, Doc. You feel as though it could possibly be a chink in your armor, because you're thinking that, hey, you know, I prepared, you know, abstinence is part of my preparation for this, theoretically, and, you know, if you go against that, you know, then there's the possibility of you thinking, well, man, you know, I haven't really prepared 100%.
The point you bring up, Rooney, is so apropos because the mindset of the discipline, which our First Lady of Sex brought up to us, is implemented into athletes at the beginning of the career. But you see, as they go on and they become successful, and they. They are successful inside and outside the ring or whatever, then that kind of mindset, you realize that, you know what, no, it really isn't that way. So they overcome it psychologically. But First Lady, you said discipline can help in sexual performance?
I believe so. It can help you. I mean, I'm pretty sure that when most guys come in, they may want to come in 30 seconds or maybe in a minute, but it takes discipline to go the distance and to actually care about if I'm enjoying it or not, you know?
As my man Eric McCown said, I like your style. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Death with the show. And, hey, we're turning, leaving no stone unturned tonight. The Sweet Science and some other sweet attributes are being brought in tonight. We want to say happy birthday to Lou DiBella and Ray Charles, and also once again send out our sympathy wishes. Lady A, Donna Summers, your thoughts on Donna Summers?
You know, when I grew up, I used to watch my cousins hustle to her stuff. So that's the most vivid picture that I have of her in my mind. You know, just listening to her music growing up as a kid and watching my cousins and my aunts and uncles hustle to her stuff. So. Dancing around the disco queen, you know?
Mambo Kid, your memories, reflections of Donna Summer?
I don't think he's here with us anymore.
Really? I thought he was. I thought I still had him. Okay.
I don't know. He might have just beeped out. Was that the famous song, Doc? Because I remember we would play basketball, and somebody would always have one of the boom boxes blasting. But was this Doc one of, because, you know, I'm so sports oriented, but I'm trying to remember. Was she the one who sang, "If There's a Cure for This, I Don't Want It"? Was that the one with her? Because I remember hearing that song all
the time.
Oh, no,
that was Diana Ross. Diana Ross, Love, Love, Love. Last week, number two. This week, number one. Diana Ross, Love Hangover. Yeah, Diana Ross, Love
okay.
Hangover. Yeah, that was Diana
right.
Ross, Love Hangover. Greg, your thoughts on Donna Summer?
I'm trying to remember who that was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Diana Ross, Love Hangover. And Donna, when she was, Donna Ross was amazing in that. Her first.
You guys don't remember Let's Dance, The Last Dance? Come on, stop.
Last Dance, Bad Girls,
Bad Girls.
Yeah. First Lady of Sex. Do you have a favorite Donna Summer song? I mean, that you heard her, because you said she's a little before your time. Is anything that Donna did that you kind of really sticks out in your mind?
Okay.
Donna, we have that answer.
Yeah. Is there a particular Donna Summer song that you like?
I told you earlier. Last Dance, because that's how I was, like, introduced to her Family Matters.
Okay, Last Dance.
Last Dance.
I remember, like I said, my memories of Donna Summer.
Yeah,
and,
Family Matters episode.
Her saying hi to Rosie out there in Brazil. In fact, let me shoot out across up to Fortaleza and everybody at the Trabajada Hotel, Justino, and the crew down to Marina Park, AJ Viviani Jr. and the crew there, Justino. It's not with us tonight, but Decio Cotomasio Jr., international promoter in São Paulo, Stevie Glazer, all down there to Monica and her family, my little nephew called Speedy G, and Rio de Janeiro, the Panamero Cano Hotel, Geraldo, and Roberto, and Claudia, and all that gang that works over there, and Paula.
Doc, before you continue, may I bounce a quick one off on Awesome A?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's something that we discussed earlier in the week, and I just wanted to bring up this topic just quickly. You know, Lady A, I've interviewed a lot of fighters, as have you. And I have evolved in my opinion slightly in regard to the Timothy Bradley-Pacquiao fight in this sense. I've been watching the commentary with Max Kellerman and the sit-down between Pacquiao and Tim Bradley. And, you know, Lady, I've been checking out his body language, looking into his eyes, and you know something, Lady A? I'm not saying that he's going to win this rumble, but Timothy Bradley's coming to fight.
Let me tell you something. That guy will come. He's not going to go out like Victor Ortiz with when he fought Berto. That guy's coming ready to fight. He is, listen, an assassin.
You're saying he's coming, but I mean, how do you step into a boxing ring and not be ready to fight? I mean, it's like
Doc,
going to the place.
That's not a question
well,
you should
guys,
be asking
I'm
me. You
sorry,
should be asking
I,
some
I,
of the fighters.
I got taken off with battery touch on my phone again. It's the Mambo Kid, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I must interject on that one. There's a lot of fighters that come ready to fight when they're hungry, and then there's fighters that come just to collect that big check.
Thank you.
And call it
okay.
Today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mamba, when you said that, I thought about, what our good buddy Tim Smith said, that you had to question the seriousness of Riddick Big Daddy Bo when not only did he start sleeping in silk pajamas, but he wanted to have a kitchen built in the bedroom. You know what? I'm feeling you on this.
Like he says, he's like, guys come in and you see that look in their eye, and it says a lot. When you saw the fight with Berto and Ortiz, you knew that he was a totally different guy than when he fought Maidana. Okay, when he fought Maidana, he quit in the ring. When he came to fight Berto, it was a totally different Ortiz.
It's funny you say that, because I remember Richard Schaefer. It was the last interview I did with Richard, and Richard said, "Hey, he said what you're saying. He said, I seen him. He's prepared. he's going to win. It's like there was something that he saw, and that was, we did an interview with him back there, and he really enhanced, he was really appreciative. And in fact, we remember when he did the thing with Mayweather, he remembered us because of the time that we gave. But, and you're saying something that just validates why you're the genius that you are, and what Kid Mambo has said, but Richard Schaefer said the same thing too. You know, he said, he's going to win this fight. He's the, and that there was something about but Mambo, why would he have it in one fight and not have it in another fight? I mean,
it usually depends on his life. You know, you got fighters, like I throw a good one at you, and this is a good example to show you what it really depends. You know, the thing about the fight business, everybody's going to have a bad day. You know, a good strategic manager, a good strategic promoter will actually calculate when there's those bad days for a particular fighter.
Really?
Now, if you take Buster Douglas,
mm-hmm.
he got stopped by Tony Tucker. He quit with Tony Tucker. He fought. He lost a couple of times. But then, you know, because what happened, I believe his wife passed away.
His mother passed away, his wife
was in a hospital.
Right, right, okay.
Here was
right.
a man who was just in so much pain that the only way he even felt, he took that pain out in the gym. And when he fought Tyson, Tyson was at the worst of his shape, Douglas was at the best of his shape, and really it's a matter of how that fighter feels that certain day. One of the things that I like to do, and I always do as a ritual, is that I like to seclude myself before fights. And, you know, I had a bit of a bad history. You know, I had a bit of bad upbringing, and I've been through a lot. But, you know, it's like pain is actually what makes me stronger. And I would meditate, and I would just think of all the bad times that I had, all the friends I lost, all the stuff. And let me tell you something. That man has to kill me before he beats me in the ring because I'm just hitting him with nothing but pain. But I actually made it a skill of manifesting this pain to be my strength. A lot of fighters can't do that, especially a lot of fighters that come from a good upbringing or not bad upbringing. You know, Oscar De La Hoya actually had a bad upbringing, man. His mother was murdered when he was a kid. You know, here was a kid here who came with a lot of brothers and sisters. That man fought with a lot of pain, and pain sometimes is what that one thing, that one motivator to make us hungry. Now, in the case of Ortiz, he, you know, whatever fight he had, he looked bad or whatever, it could have been, who knows? Maybe he was looking at, you know, his house getting ready to be foreclosed, his girlfriend, you know, his wife or whatever, depending on his family. He's like, you know what? This is my last shot. I'll be damned this guy take it away from me. And that's one of something a lot of people don't understand. The fight business is definitely emotional. Fighters that are successful in this business are very emotional fighters.
Doc, if I could just interject, one of the things I think that's crucial.
Lady
that's,
A, wait.
One of the things I think that's crucial to an athlete being able to perform successfully is being able to not only be physically and prepared, but also being mentally prepared. Sometimes you see people when they play, their minds aren't in the game, and that's kind of what takes them away from, you know, being successful. Because the mind and the body have to work succinct. And what happens is when that doesn't happen, now you start to see flaws in whatever plan or whatever thing you may have had to win the fight. Now, because those things aren't working succinct, now you have things that start to come, you know, and fall apart. So just to add to what he's saying, you know, mental toughness is just as equal as being athletically prepared and being conditioned and mentally and physically tough, you know?
And let me say this, Doc, and kind of bottom line this before you just interject of what the Awesome A and Mambo just said. You know, Doc, you know, people sometimes forget that whether you're a fighter, wrestler, whatever it is, you know, it's a job, you know, even though it's pro sports, you know, it's a job like any other job, Doc. And, you know, what the fans tend to forget sometimes is sometimes you wake up, Doc, and you just don't have it.
you just don't have it, no matter how much you prepare. I mean, tell me how many of us on this panel woken up from the job one day and we're supposed to go in and we wake up and say, you know something, I just don't have it today. I just don't feel like being bothered with anybody today. I want to take a personal day. I just don't have it today.
Rooney, you know, one of the key things, one of the things that stood out to me, and you're saying that in another fight that kind of, I saw Allen Green when he was training for the fight against Johnson, okay, and that was for, do you remember that Showtime had this whole thing they were doing for the championship? Remember that? You remember that? They were doing that, the one that Andre Ward won? Well, Allen Green had the perfect training camp. Like, I saw Allen Green's entire training camp. I said, wow, this guy's going to win the fight against Glenn Clark Johnson. But then I saw him in the fight, and I'm like, where is he? I'm waiting for him to do something. You know, I'm waiting for that spark in the fight. And he was hitting him, and it was just like he was hitting him, but he wasn't really landing effective blows. And at the end of the fight, he said, you know I'm not supposed to make excuses. It just was not working for me today.
You hear that and you're like,
how could you not show up for a fight? How could you admit that?
Everybody has defined and explained what happens in a situation when you don't show up for a fight. But I remember Alexis Arguello saying, you know, you can go into the ring at your best and get killed. And the sad thing about a fighter is, it's not like a baseball player. You go 0-3 today, you can play tomorrow. And even a pitcher, you know, you're going to pitch 3 or 4 days later. And even with a fight, you know, this may be your only title shot. I mean, you look at the great Charlie Burley never got a title shot. You know, Kenny Norton, people forget, Kenny Norton never won his title in the ring. Kenny won his title because they gave it to him because Spinks was stripped for going back and fighting Ali a second time.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand what you say, but somehow, you know, as a fighter, I can't say I don't feel like, you know, Ray Robinson, the great, you know, if Ray Robinson didn't feel like fighting, he didn't fight. If Ray Robinson had a cold, if he was not 100%, Walker Smith Jr. said, guess what? We ain't fighting. So, I mean, everybody ain't Ray Robinson, but like the great Alexa goes, you can get killed in that ring at your best. How can you go into a boxing ring not at your best? I understand.
I think that it goes back to what Mamba was saying. You have people that can take that time and mentally put themselves in a situation and say, all right, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm ready for this. This is, you know, but some people they're not mentally conditioned.
Oh, sorry, guys, I ran into somebody. And, hold on.
You know, I still got my first lady of sex here, right? Alex? Well, I wanted to ask Alex, and I was going to say, Alex probably be back in the studio.
Hey, Doc, can you hear me?
Okay, Greg, you know, you listen to this, and I'm saying this too. I understand the rationale, but this is not a basketball game. I can't say I don't feel like a coach taking me out of the game. I'm not a pitcher you can put.
What Lady A said is right on.
Mm-hmm.
What she said.
Thank you, Greg.
Right
thank
on.
You. Thank you. I'll take all the accolades now. Thank you.
It's right on, and it's not just in boxing. It's across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's mental preparation.
That's
you
right.
You gotta be ready mentally, emotionally, physically to compete and play at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
No exception.
Let me tell you something.
Otherwise,
one of the biggest
if you're not, listen to me. If you're not, you'll get your block knocked off quickly.
He's a basketball guy. Okay, he's a basketball guy. Okay, you remember the game that Jordan had a flu? The flu? How many points did he score in that game?
He could barely walk.
And how many points did he score in that game?
38.
About 38.
Is that mental preparation or what?
He played a playoff game, man.
It's now a commercial. They have it now on a commercial.
I think that was maybe 1A. I mean, we're talking about, you know, it's funny you said that because I was watching some videos, and it was a game where Jordan against a triple overtime game. They lost by 2 points to Utah Jazz. And I remember Jordan got a jive technical, and it was like 0.5 of a second left. And Chicago sportscaster said, well, you know, the Bulls are down by two, and the man with the cape is not in the game. But, you know, that to me showed, I mean, you know, I've always said this. If I've got to be stuck with Michael Jordan as the greatest player to ever live, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I think Oscar was there, Chamberlain. But of his generation, no question. But when you talk about Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and what I remember about that was Scotty hugging him and taking him to the locker room. But, you know, the thing about Michael is the same thing you say about Jack Roosevelt Robinson. The same thing you say about Ollie. The same thing they talked about the great stickball legend, Melly Mays. And it was a comment I saw out of Shea Stadium of the Jackie Robinson comments, and one of the great ones, too, is, you know, life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. And the other quote was, and it personifies Michael. It personifies Jackie Robinson. It personifies Melly Mays. Above all else, I hate to lose. And, you know, and a half of Michael Jordan has always been better more than some guys.
Well, nothing personifies that edict. I hate to lose. I refuse to lose.
Rooney, what we're saying here, though, you know, the coach can pull him out the game for a few minutes. There's a halftime. You know, but in a fight, you know, it's just you and the other guy. I mean, even if I'm not feeling
it. Makes it so personal, Doc. You know, mm-hmm. you can't blame your teammates. You know, you can't say to
but
yourself.
But see, Rudy,
Let me just finish 1 second. One of the people, Lady A, and that personified with Doc. And Doc's talking about heart right now, okay? Refusing to lose.
Happy birthday, one of the great
fighters of our time, Matthew Franklin, aka Matthew Saad Muhammad. He had that "I refuse to lose."
Attitude.
Yeah, but you know, like you just said, and I don't know if Greg's going to agree with me, but you said that some people have to take it personal. But for some people, maybe it's not taking it personal. Maybe it's taking another piece.
No, I didn't take it personal, Lady A. What I said was to me.
But you drew on that. And that's what I'm saying.
Everybody has to draw onto something.
I think every person has to draw into something to get them to that point where they're saying, hey, I'm not going down like that. You know what I mean? Whether
I
it's a personal
that,
issue.
I'm not saying turking it personal is impersonal, Lydia.
Right.
What I meant was I don't think that any contest is more personal than a boxing match because you have no one to blame.
But
it's mano-a-mano.
Right.
And you know, it's no excuses. It's, did you get it done or did you not?
Right.
Not did your teammates do it. Not did the coach have bad strategy. It's like what it is in a street talk is, hey, it's me and you, money.
That's it. Right.
Gang, I just got a shout out at Lou DiBella. He said he wanted to thank everybody for the birthday greetings, and I let him know that we all said happy birthday to him.
That's right.
Happy birthday,
Lou. That's right.
Happy birthday, Lou.
You know what? I want to see if he would want to call him for a quick minute or two, but maybe I'll try him because we still got a good 20 minutes or more left here.
And
so maybe
being a former Champlin athlete in your own right knows that. Thank you, Doc. Being a former Champlin athlete in her own right knows, you know, the spirit of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can do the call for just a minute. Hold on. Keep going, gang.
Well, yeah, I mean, fighting is my life, so, you know, this is what pays my bills. So, of course, everything is to me personal. My family depends on it, so.
it's food on the table for you, my brother.
that's exactly what it is. You know, of course, I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, and this was my way out, you know what I mean?
Right,
it's like,
right.
You know, I live in Manhattan now. I have a home in Amsterdam. That tells you what kind of fighter I am. I just don't believe in quitting.
Right.
They got to take me out on the stretcher before I accept defeat. But at the same time, you know, it is a business. It is a sport. You know, I love my opponents. but please forgive me, because when the bell rings, I'm gonna have to hurt you, because I have to make this. I gotta make this bread.
Dr. Stanley, you want to jump on the Blake the Never Rainbow Soda to tell Sports and Death of the Show. It is our couple of things here all in one. Lady A, the boxing way with Lady A. We're also saying happy birthday to Lou DiBella, who once again wants to send out the salutations and thanks to everybody as we say happy birthday to him and to Ray Charles Leonard. We got the Mambo Kid.
Happy birthday, Ray. Yeah, that's right.
Ray Charles Leonard. I remember that the name that used to mention, Sugar Ray Leonard from Palmer Park, Michigan. You know, he was the darling of the Olympic team, the greatest Olympic team, the greatest boxing team we've ever had. We had, I mean, you look at that crew. Ray Leonard became a world champion. People forget Leo Randolph, who became a world champion. And you had both of the Sphinx brothers, who not only became world champions, but Michael became the first light heavyweight to ever win the heavyweight championship of the world, and Leon Spinks became one of the few guys to ever beat Muhammad Ali, but them as brothers became heavyweight champions. I mean, they beat the Klitschko. They were the first set of brothers ever to become heavyweight champions of the world, and at DocStanleySports.com, get into the Trust in God Sports in Depth Museum Artifact Entertainment Hall of Fame. Michael, I know the one guy, I have autographs from Leon, and also have the towel that he wore, a robe for his only fight in Madison Square. Leon only fought in Madison Square once, and Michael never fought. Come to think of it, you know, I kind of let Leon get away. I've got to catch up with Leon.
Doc.
Leon, yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Weren't we gonna try to see if we could get Jerry Cooney on the show? He is hilarious. We gotta get him on the show,
Doc. You said you were gonna get us Cooney.
Yeah, Doc, he is hilarious. You're talking about heavyweights. That guy is hilarious. We got to get him on the show.
Hey, you know something, Lady A? The first time I saw Jerry Cooney and interviewed him, I remember looking up at this guy that's like 6'7", and I remember thinking, damn, Larry Holmes had to fight him.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you something.
He's hilarious, Doc.
Oh, yeah, no, well, you know, it's amazing that you said that, because I remember he gave me his number. And
yeah, when we were at the fight. Remember when we went to that fight?
Yeah. And,
in the garden, with Miguel Cotto.
But you know what? For some reason, I don't find it. I have to catch up with him again, because I had it. I have to check my other number, because I remember
you took his number and Larry Holmes' number.
Yeah, but I can't find the let me check my other phone. Look, people, I picked Cooney to beat Larry Holmes. And if you remember, Cooney was making more money than Holmes. He was making $1 million more. He made 8, if I'm correct, and Larry made 7. Now, the late, great Ray Orsell was one of the cornermen for Larry Holmes. And I'm going to say this. Sal Marciano was sitting at a certain seat at ringside, and what happened was that he saw Orsell. He saw Orsell pass something across the nose of Larry Holmes.
Mm.
And when he was on the plane the next day, he mentioned to Orsell, and Orsell said, "You saw that?" And he says, "Yeah." And he told Sal, "Okay, I'll tell you what it was, but you can't say anything until I die." And what it was some smelling salts ammonia capsule to snap Larry back, because Cooney's punches were so devastating.
Really?
And, Doc, let me tell you something about that, since you mentioned that. And Mambo
and Cooney,
and
Lady and
Cooney,
and hold on. And the thing, and I remember told Jerry that, and Jerry was, because he said when Sal told Jerry that, Jerry was livid. And Jerry told me, now, Lady A, when we were at that affair, Jerry told me he was doing it every round.
Really?
Every round.
Wow.
He was doing it every round.
Who would have thought
every
that,
round.
Huh?
I remember the line that Ali said about Cooney, he says, Cooney hit so hard, he you know, my grandchildren could feel it. And Ali didn't have any grandchildren then. And I mean, I'll tell you what Don Turner told me. He said, when Jerry Cooney was in the Golden Gloves, Jerry Cooney was going to be unbeatable and an undefeated fighter. If he had stayed, the, I remember, and that was the same day we were at the Garden in the Rotunda when they had that special affair with all the guys, and Don was sitting in front of me, and Don told me, the outstanding trainer, Holyfield's trainer, he said, had Cooney stayed the course, he said, Cooney as an amateur was unbeatable. He said, Cooney was en route. There was a little sidetrack that we talk about later, that sidetrack, but Cooney was en route to being like Marciano.
Really?
Doc,
what happened? His last fight was against George Foreman, right, in Atlantic City?
No, I don't believe that. I know.
Yeah, because he fought Spinks in 87, right?
Him and Spinks, the winner of that fight, wind up getting the inevitable task of Mike Tyson, but it was the fight that propelled Spinks to the Tyson fight.
Jerry Cooney would never have even come close to being undefeated in the pros because the fight, despite his incredibly massive strength, and it was massive. Guy is a one-handed fighter, Doc. He's a
Rooney.
Right
all
hand.
He had to
he
do was hit you
Doc.
With that. No. All he had power in both hands.
Now,
I don't think he beats Mike Tyson, but what I'm saying is he had the ability, and had he caught Mike right early, and this is Don Turner. I mean, here's a guy with a devastating puncher. And we have to forget that that's all fighters are. Heavyweights are not boxers. Ali,
I understand, Doc, but we'll have to agree to disagree because I don't think he'd
have
took Larry Holmes in a million years.
Well, hold up a second. Hold up a second, Doc. Didn't Mambo spar with Larry Holmes?
No. Yeah, right. He sparred with Larry. No. He knows Larry. He knows Larry well.
I thought he said that he sparred with Larry Holmes.
He sparred with Roy. He sparred with Tooney, and he sparred with Buddy. I mean, we can disagree. We have to understand, you know, Ali, Ezra Charles, Larry Holmes. They have distorted our perception of what a heavyweight is. Heavyweights are just big guys who hit. Heavyweights don't box. And this is what somebody told me about Tyson too. Mambo told me today about Tyson. You know, the thing about Tyson was, we lost Mambo. He had to run out. But he said Larry Holmes told him that nobody hit him harder than Mike. I mean,
but Doc, you know, I think when you look at Tyson, you got to look at him this way. You got to look at a guy who, not too many guys can move laterally the way he did and had the head movements the way he did.
This is why you're the sweetest, because that's the thing that made Mike so devastating. And that's what boxing is about. Me hitting you and you not hitting me. Greg, you still with us, Greg? Did the Hoopster join us yet?
Yeah.
Okay, Hoopster.
So right here, Doc.
Real quick, Hoopster. What's the story here? Are the Lakers and Kobe done? Is it Kobe's fault that the Lakers are losing? Talk to me real quickly. Huh?
No, the team is a team. It's a team effort. Not Kobe's fault. It's a team.
What's up, Hoops?
Hoops, everybody's all right.
Lakers are not done. They're not done.
They ain't over yet. But it's a team effort.
You
can't blame Kobe.
What's up, Hoops?
Okay, now, G. Jones, Hoops has said that if Bosch is gone, Miami's going to have a hard time getting past.
Oh, they got balled out tonight, Doc. They got murdered.
Who got murdered tonight?
Miami, 94-75. They got pounced on tonight.
So now they're 1-2, and the missing of Bosch is becoming quite evident.
Yep.
And this year, if for nothing else, if Boston can win their series a game or so earlier, and even if Miami does get there, in fact, if Boston can end their series before whoever wins this series, that's going to be – you know what you're telling me then, Greg Hoopster? You're telling me that if Indiana gets in,
right,
then Boston's going back to the finals.
Yep.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yep.
That's exactly
and also,
right.
Dwayne Wade only had 5 points tonight, Doc.
Who's the, you said? Did you say Dwayne Wade or Dwayne Wade Jr.?
Dwayne Wade only had 5 points.
Dwayne Wade. Yep. Five.
Well, who's the, it was, is this the defense of Indiana, or is this just the missing link of Bosch?
Both.
Hey, Doc, you may have a conference, you're going to have some conference finals with, you may have conference finals without LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol, Andrew Bynum, without.
Hey, Greg, why don't you just say, without the Lakers? Why don't you just say without the Lakers, Greg? Doc Stanley's Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports and Death of the Show, Boxing Way with Lady A. G. Jones is with us. The Hoopster came in live out of the studios from the big upset now of the Indiana Pacers against the Miami Heat. We had the Mambo Kid with us. He's got to he had to leave us. Of course, the First Lady of Sports, Lady A. We also lost our First Lady of Sex, but we've got to get her back down the line. Very interesting show tonight. And we're saying happy birthday to both Ludabella. In fact, everybody say happy birthday, Ludabella.
Happy birthday, Lou.
Happy birthday, Lou. Happy birthday.
Many more. In fact, you know what? On cue, we're going to quickly sing happy birthday. One,
Doc, I don't know about that.
Okay, I'll think. You know what?
You kind of blew
think.
It last time, Doc.
Who blew it? I did?
Yeah, Doc.
What did I do? Hey, no, okay. Let's.
You
hey.
Started late, Doc. You started late.
Okay. I'm going to do the time. On three, gang. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lou and Sugar Ray. Happy birthday to you. Okay,
yeah,
I got this.
All right, Doc, the girls are howling in the background here.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah, Greg.
The Commodores were not.
Not only you guys not the Commodores,
I got a feeling you guys are going to be attracting every wolf within the next 100 miles of here.
Rooney, you didn't have to go there. Like I said, you know, we weren't prepared, you know what I mean? And you know what? It's not us, it's the acoustics. It wasn't us, you know what I mean?
I hear there's a couple of coyotes on the way.
Hey, listen, as long as they don't want sex, we're safe, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, bring her back. Why don't you? Yeah.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. And it's been a show as we are in the waning moments. We want to thank the Mambo Kid and our S&M lady, of also Mr. Greg Jones, for joining us once again tonight. And Hoopster getting him in, who came in live off the NBA floor. Hoopster, you're the guy. And so many people have said this, and as I was watching a lot of games of Jordan outside of Madison Square Garden, and you know, it seems to be that in a lot of ways the Knicks really played him very, very well defensively, and you, Jordan, yes or no, greatest player that ever played the game?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Who would you give that title to?
Elgin Baylor, you had the choice. You had Elgin Baylor, you had Oscar, you had Bill Russell, you had Chamberlain. You had the choice.
Yeah, I know. I've said this, and I've said, and I understand, and it was something that was it me and Kevin Lockery or Doug? No, television had so much exposure in this particular era that they didn't have before, and
right.
I just say this. Okay, you know, gang, if you hold on, maybe we'll do mic on, lights off for a couple of seconds. And so don't anybody move, you know, had a great time here. Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake with another Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show. We send happy birthday to Lou DiBella and Ray Charles Leonard. We'll be every great fight of his era. That'd be Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Roberto Hanser Stone Duran, and Tommy the Hitman Hearns. not to mention guys like Andy Price and Wilfredo Benitez, youngest man ever to win a world championship. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network Show. Gang, hold on a second. We want to say good night in a few extra minutes. Live your life today. My most persistent urgent question is, what are you doing for the service of others to make you pay for your space on earth? I simply say, trust in God. Larry Hardesty, what do you say?
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Okay, gang. It's that time. Another 10:50 minute. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network. Mic on, lights off. We're just going to discuss some things before everybody head out of the studio and head in into the night New York City era. And as always, we want to open up with the greatest African sportscaster in the history of African American radio, the legendary Larry Hardesty, sideline ESPN. You know what? And I got something here too for you, lady. I want you to hear. Gang, don't move. Larry Hardesty, you got something to say?
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And in any shape or form, anytime we do something here, John Coltrane's got to be there for us as we light prayer to the Lord. Thank you.
Hey, Lord. Lord, the show, man.
In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. What I want to do here, gang, in these just a few minutes, mic on, lights off, because everybody's just in such a good mood, and we're rapping, and we got the gang all here. But really quickly, dear Lord, your will, your way is what we ask first and foremost. We thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. And you are God all by yourself. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for blessings unseen, forthcoming, that have come and all unmerited. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Gang, we got some thoughts here. Looking at this basketball thing real quick, because I got the hoopster, I got Greg, Lady A, and we're going to get close.
Hey, I'm Doc.
Yeah, Greg.
Hey, you know, we got to ask you a good friend of yours, Larry Bird.
We did mention earlier, Larry, Executive of the Year, he's won the MVP, he's won Coach of the Year. I think he's the only guy.
College Player of the Year, too, 1979.
It was College Player. So he's the only guy to ever do that, then, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
Wow. He's the only one, Doc.
Yeah. And you know what?
Let me just say, Doc, there was some dissension earlier tonight on the Miami bench between Dwayne Wade and the coach over there. Some visible dissension during one of the timeouts, Doc. They all didn't go well over in Miami tonight. Not just
you know
the
what?
Laws, but there's some people over there.
I want to say something here right now. And people, you know, this is why I have the pride. This is why I have the adulation. This is why I have maybe a tone of positive arrogance because of the people on my crew. You know, this is my crew. I mean, you people listen across the world, and I've got my dear friend Rosie all the way in Brazil. I've got some people in Hong Kong. I mean, they're on top. The Hoops just came in with the live update with the basketball game. Greg had already dissected the situation before now. Rooney has validated this whole situation. There's nobody that knows the sweet science better than the sweetest of the practitioners, own Lady A. The education that continues to happen here on sports. Yesterday we did a show. Dustin Keller told you that tight ends in pro football wear numbers 81 to 89. If they're taken, then they can wear 40 to 40. The education that you get here, you don't get it anyplace else. The in-depth knowledge, our sex therapist. And at the same time, we were able to say happy birthday to two of the credible people in the sport of boxing, Lou DiBella and Ray Charles Leonard. And to at the same time, remember one of the great singers, and personalities of our time, Donna Summer. In fact, at this time, you know, Donna's mother passed away from pancreas cancer. And, you know, I look at the book that was done, Ordinary Girl is legendary singer-songwriter Donna Summer's delightful candid memoir about her journey from singing in a Boston church to her unexpected reign as the queen of disco and the tragedy and spiritual rebirth that followed. Donna was born on New Year's Eve in Boston. Her childhood was filled with music inspired by Mahalia Jackson, the first lady of gospel. She began singing in a church choir at the age of 10. A few years later, she joined a Boston rock group, and by the end of the 1960s, she was living the life of an artist in New York City's Greenwich Village. Soon after, Donna left the United States to join the German cast of Hair. She was still in her teens, a shy, ordinary girl who was suddenly feeling the jolt of the sexual revolution. She lived in Germany for 7.5 years, modeling, acting, falling in love, getting married, and giving birth to a daughter. She had a producer named Giorgio Mandora, and together they created a song called Love to Love You Baby. It became one of the world's premier disco hits. Donna Summer returned to America as a star, a sex goddess, who bore little resemblance to her own sense of who she was. She describes what that personal transformation felt like from the white hot center of the disco era and how over the next two decades it contributed to a sometimes harrowing spiritual journey. With heart and humor, Donna Summer relives the decadent days of disco. That's a heck of a line. And shows how she transcended them. This is the inspiring tale of an ordinary girl on an extraordinary journey. Donna Summer is an internationally known songwriter-singer whose music has earned 5 Grammy Awards, 3 consecutive number one platinum albums. She is the only artist, male or female, ever to have accomplished this. 11 gold albums, 4 number one singles, 2 platinum singles, and 12 gold singles. Considered the voice that ignited the disco generation, she has been an enormously popular and enduring performer and recording artist for more than a quarter of a century. And, her website now, if you want to find some more stuff about her, www.drivenbythemusic.com. Today, 63 years old, Donna Summer, passed away, New Year's Eve baby, and just wanted to pay tribute to her and remember her memory at the same time, thanking the good Lord for the birth today of Ray Charles Leonard and Lou DiBella. Gang, so is the end near for Miami? And, I mean, Miami now is 1-2. They won a game. The Lakers are going back home. Are they going to, I mean, if they come back 2-2, if they lose the game, they're done. There's no question about it. But if they can even this series, Hoopster, can they get back in this?
Who, the Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure they can. But they have to do is they got to play half-court offense because Oklahoma City rubbing down the court, man. They're a bunch of young guys, man. They got to play a half-court game if they want to win the series.
Mm. Who mentioned Oklahoma City before anybody? I wonder who.
Go ahead, Lady A.
I'm not gonna say anything to Hoopster because he's gonna start with the little Tebow comments. So I gotta stay quiet.
The fix is in, you know. You know the fix is in. Tebow's starting. The fix is in already. You know that.
You know
what? Hoopster, I love you, brother. I love you, Hoopster. I love you, Hoopster.
The fix is in, girl. The fix is in. Your number 18 starting. I'm sorry. The fix is in already.
I
don't know. Darrell Revis, my man, had a couple of comments today to say about that.
Well, what did he say?
Nah, he's saying he thinks Tebow's the real deal, man. I mean, I...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he said it all over the papers
Tebow,
today.
The guy's a football player, no doubt. I'll tell you, the fix is in, Lady A. The fix is in. Now tell me.
Oh, okay.
I see the setup already. I can see
all
it.
All right.
Well, Bring him on.
Rooney said...
Rooney said they didn't bring him here for 10 snaps. And they got an offensive coordinator who's playing smash mouth football. I mean, so you're telling me...
Round and pound is the thing, Doc.
Well, no, so you're telling me that you want to control the football and you look to the sideline and standing there is Gail Sayers and Jim Brown and Johnny Unitas and Tom Brady. I don't see Brady and Unitas getting in the football game, gang.
No, Doctor, what I'm really trying to say regarding that is, Doc, and I don't know how many people agree or not, but damn, Doc, can we have an offensive? Give me an offensive coordinator with a little damn, you know, some personality.
Rooney, come on, you, Rooney, stop it. You had a beef with Schottenheimer since they hired him. Cut it out, Rooney.
Well, thank goodness he's gone. Well, thank goodness he's gone. But no, seriously, Doc.
Hey, Greg, he didn't like Schottenheimer from the giddy-up. I mean,
Sea Wings. Oh, Sea Wings was the joker.
Anytime the Giants did well, it was in spite. I mean, just, it was Lady A. It was in spite of Schottenheimer. they wouldn't even mention him. Greg, they wouldn't even mention him. Like, he wasn't on the team.
How many AFC championships has Tim Tebow led a team to?
How many?
Well, guys kind of know the league, don't you think?
How many AFC championships has Mark Patrick led a team to?
True, but it's not like the guy's a 5-year vet.
No, he doesn't have that much time in the league either, though.
So with
he's fifth year, right?
This year will be Sanchez's fourth year.
Okay, I'm sorry, but according to everybody else, we're supposed to wait how much longer till he takes us to the promised land? Please.
don't get her started.
You can't get to the Super Bowl without getting to the AFC Championship game.
Like I said,
true, but
he'd be on the bench. Number six will be riding the bench.
So before we
how many games did we lose at the end of the season? Because supposedly he was supposed to. I don't know about anybody else, but I still keep seeing myself in that press box, banging my head on the wall like a kid on a yellow bus with a helmet. Okay, because this guy was throwing a ball at Dustin Keller's helmet. I'm like, who is he throwing a ball to?
Hey, lady A, go down and show me your helmet, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
I heard Lady A had a smirk on her face during that whole entire game, press box or no, and the locker room also.
Rooney, after they sung the national anthem, she had a smirk on her face. To the parking lot. Right to the parking lot. You know what I mean? And she told Sea Wings, you know what? Why don't you handle jet interviews? I'm going into the other locker room.
Wow.
Oh, lights on, lights off. Lady A, the boxing way, and we've been moving into another areas. Football, JETS, Jets, Giants. Want to mention the United Way dinner the other night for charities at the Waller Astoria. A lot of the Giants and Jets were there. Dustin Keller, Biggershaw Johnson. We also had Akeem Nicks. Coach Coughlin was there. Victor Cruz and the legendary New York Jets quarterback.
Doc, you're saying Dustin Keller. You know he's the only guy that lives in the city, right?
Really?
In the New York Jets team. He's the only guy that lives in the city. You know what else? He's the only guy that really does a lot of the stuff that they do for, like, kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you know, he actually does the walk for autism for the kids.
Really?
Yeah. Good kid.
I like him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
And Doc, also, Lawrence Taylor's about to sell one of the Super Bowl rings also. Did you hear about that?
Taylor did what?
He's going to sell one of his Super Bowl rings.
Why?
Well, you know what I mean? You can't take it with you, but it's funny that you mentioned that. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network, the show Mike on Lights. It's funny you say that because today is the day that the Giants got their Super Bowl rings from the Super Bowl, and LT is selling his.
So
that's great.
Wow.
Why is he sell? What, is he hard up for money, or?
Gotta be.
Well, no, you know, I tell you what, Julius Erving sold a lot of his stuff, and, you know, the mindset of a lot of these guys is, you know, let me sell it while it's worth something. I can't take it with me. I mean, I guess I remember me and Julius talked about certain situations, and, you know, I guess he gave some to his kids, and now it's not like he's still, you know, with Turquoise, his first wife. So, you know, I guess there's situations that kind of change somewhat, you know what I mean? And, and you never know. I mean, the future's now. I mean, why hold on to something that's worth value and you know, cashing the chips while it's worth something.
Doc, I once tried on a Super Bowl ring from one of the Jets from the 69 championship team. I do have to say, Doc, it's a beautiful ring, man. Beautiful
ring. Doc tried on the Akeem Olajuwon sneakers, too. They didn't fit. The lady had to tell him, no, sir, just stand right next to him so we can get an idea how big they are.
They're like wearing boats, huh?
Wow.
Oh, man.
The Shaquille sneakers, I could fucking put both feet in those bad boys.
Oh, Doc, man, I couldn't believe the size of our Akeem Olajuwon sneakers you had, Doc. That was crazy.
And you know what? I tell you, you know whose feet amazed me was Julius Erving's feet. Julius wore 15, but his hands, he was holding my son. Mel was 3 months old. Mel is his godson. And he was holding little Mel in his hand. And I saw him talking to little, I could not see my son. I thought he was talking to his hands. I could not see this 3-month-old baby in his hands. He says, it's a good thing you look just like your mother. And so I thought he was just teasing me. He was, oh, man, he's got to. What I want to do real quick, Gary, I want to talk to a guy that is my favorite Jet and also yours too, lady. Let's talk to Dustin Keller at the United Way dinner the other day that they had for the kids. And let's just talk to one of the great guys of our time, and I think one of the outstanding players. Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake Radio Network, main ball show, the Channel Sports Network show, Dustin Keller on Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network.
Also, the Channel Sports Network, the show, one of my favorite Jets, and one of the best players around in the game. Justin, you know, you got a situation here. You got to worry about two different quarterbacks this year, you know. You got two guys. You got Tebow. That's been a big question. But you got to figure, it's got to be asked to the team, else you wouldn't have got him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to put in some practice for him, but Mark is the guy. So I think that's got really no. He's going to be throwing the ball to us out there. Tebow will probably have his packages and everything, but Mark's the guy.
Disappointed he is early. You kind of knew where you want to be as a training camp. You know, it's not too far away. What are you doing off season to stay in shape, Dustin?
Working out every day. Just got to make sure you're hitting the gym, running out on the field. Just stay in shape. It's hard to get, once you get out of shape, it's hard to get back into it. So you just got to continue doing those things.
Dustin, why do you wear the number you wear? Any particular reason?
It was the best of the ones offered to me. And now it's stuck. That was Curtis Martin's number.
Why?
My brother had it in high school, so of course I had to get it when I got into high school. Then I had it in college, so I wanted to get in the league, but tight ends aren't allowed to wear number 28. Plus, pretty much retired because of Curtis Martin.
So tight ends have to wear a certain number, high number?
Yeah, I think that has to be either 80 to 89, and all those are taken, then they can wear 40 to 49.
Were you always a tight end? Did you play some other position?
I was a wide receiver my first year in college.
You happy you got too big?
I started to get too big. I started lifting weights for the first time, and then the rest is history.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth. That was at the United Way dinner at the Waldorf Astoria. Giants Jets there. MVP Lifetime Achievement Award was given to the 231st Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, and Brandon Moore, and Chris Knee were recipients, Giants and Jets respectively. Jets and Giants respectively. As Good Guy Awards. Lady A, the thing that struck me here, you heard a sign of allegiance to Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. You heard it.
I mean, you know, Mark's
you
the guy,
right
boom,
here.
Boom, boom. Like I said, that was United Way to dinner to score for the Rich Kids in New York City, the Gridiron Gala at the Hall of Astoria, New York Jet Brandon Moore and New York Giants Chris Knee were honorees, and NFL Hall of Famer Harry Carson, of course the great Joe Willie Namath was there. Hometown Hero Award was given to Brandon Moore, guard for New York Jets, and Chris Knee, a guard for New York Giants, and the MVP Award was given to Harry D. Carson, 231st member of the Hall of Fame, and also Lifetime Achievement. What a host of guys were there, man. They had some of everybody's there. Of course, Joe Willie Namath was the one that had the list. Joe Klecko. I was looking for Ray Lucas, but he wasn't there. Emerson Boozer, maybe they were inside, maybe they come out to the media area. Gang, we're going to close in a few minutes. The playoffs now are shaping up that the dream matches are not going to happen. And what Greg and what the Hoopster is telling me is that the so-called old guys, if they can stay healthy, get it together. Rondo, what a tremendous guard he has been. They've got a good shot to not only get back to the finals, but now if we had a Oklahoma City-Boston playoff, we've got a good shot of Doc Rivers and Boston Hoopster maybe getting another title?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Doc, I mean, since you mentioned Doc Rivers, you know, he's one of eight African-American coaches to win a championship.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Okay, Russell was the first. Yeah, he's one. Lenny Wilkins.
Lenny Wilkins
is another.
Correct.
Let me see. I'm trying to figure who else who won.
This is in the three major sports, Doc.
In the three major sports,
football, baseball, and basketball.
Okay,
how about Casey Jones, Doc?
Huh?
Did Casey win?
Yeah, Casey won. Basketball-wise, we got Lenny Wilkins, Casey Jones, Bill Russell, and Doc Rivers. We've only had one African-American win all in baseball, and that was my good friend, Tito Gaston. We've had the head coach of the...
Doc, you forgot one. There's one more.
One more African-American coach? Basketball coach?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Name four of them.
Okay, I got one more.
Let me think.
Give me a team.
Well, they coached against each other. Ironically, this is when Casey Jones was coaching the Bullets.
He coached the Bullets, and who?
He was favored to win, but they ended up losing this series. They got swept.
Al Attles.
That's right, he went to Golden State.
Al might have been the third coach to
win.
My sleeper team, guys, is the Spurs.
Yeah, you know what? Tony Parker's playing the best basketball, I think, of his career. I think he's playing the best
basketball of his career. That's my
sleeper team. Yeah, you're right.
He's out playing Chris Paul right now.
Who's that, Parker?
Parker is on my team. I put him on my own team.
I think he's first team. I think he's been playing all year. He's first
team.
Him and Kobe in the backcourt. You're right. Because we got the five guys there in basketball. We've got Cito Gaston in baseball. He's the only one. That's six. And then we've got, of course, Tony Dungy. And the Super Bowl, and also the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is not only...
Lady, you heard that, Lady A? Okay.
What's that? What?
Well, he's a Steelers fan, you know what I mean? He's a Steelers fan.
I like that guy. I like that guy. I like that guy as a coach, man. He's the real deal, that guy.
He also is the youngest coach ever to win a Super Bowl, you know what I mean?
We got y'all, too, second game, so we're going to get y'all.
All right, come bring it. Bring it.
We're going to bring it. We're gonna bring it, believe me.
Bring it.
Hey, Lady A, is this the Jet and you, or are you speaking for Sanchez or Tebow? Which one are you talking for here?
Well, listen, let me tell you this.
Everybody's talking
about how these two won't get along. Listen, calm down. The season has not started yet. You had two ace quarterbacks in San Francisco. They played together for a while. Montana and Steve Young. They'll work itself out. Calm down. And then once Sanchez starts to choke, they'll throw in Tebow for a little while. No big deal. Calm down.
I'll tell you something here, too. And Rooney, one thing you got to agree with. We finally have a backup quarterback.
Thank you.
That you can put in the game.
Thank you.
That's what kills me, Doc. All year long, they kept talking about, we need somebody to come in and press Sanchez a little bit, make him work hard, hold his feet to the fire, give him some competition. Well, you got it. I'm with Lady A. What's all the jibber jabber about? Let's see it. Let's get it done. Let's rock and roll.
Well, you know, enough said. It's going to make for a tremendous season. Take your hat up to the Giants. You know, they just clicked so well last year. Everything fell right into place.
You forgot the main character. Since Destino's not here, I'm going to speak for him. And Victor Cruz, as stated by my man Destino Lewis, running like he was a purse snatcher, okay?
Well, you know, he must have done the night because I didn't see him at the fair. He must have smacked the person around. I looked around at
and Doc, before we go, let me say this. Piggybacking on what Lady A said with Cruz, and let's not forget, I really think that Eli Manning really came into his own this year, man, as far as a money quarterback.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And your man Jason Pierre-Pierre.
Most definitely.
He's always been an outstanding quarterback, but, you know, you can't take away, you know, a lot of that goes to Cruz. I mean, you know, he had a guy that he could throw to the prime time. And Manningham, you know, it's unfortunate that in this case, you know, when you have a white quarterback, all the accolades go to him and not to the black receivers. But when you have a black quarterback, all the accolades go to the white receivers. I remember me and Julius talked about one time about when Jamie Harris was quarterbacking and, you know, he would go back and, you know, Harris back in the pocket. It goes downfield. Oh, what a catch, touchdown. You know, Harris had nothing to do with the touchdown. I mean, it was all the line. It was the route that the receiver ran. You know, it's just like, you know, like anybody could throw the football. You know, and I'm not taking anything away from Eli, but, you know, he had some good people.
How does this year, Doc?
Huh? I mean, he had some good people to throw that football to, man. And Cruz just had a hell of a, and we got to give some props to my buddy Jerry Reese there. I mean, Reese done a heck of a job.
Yeah.
It's a GM that nobody's talking about what he's done, what he's brought to the table. When this guy first got the job, he was too young. Actually, he was just too black, but he was too young. He didn't have any experience. You know what I mean? And, the rest, they say, is history.
Yo, yeah, bring him back on your show, too. You've been on our show quite a few times.
He's
bring him back. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he's good people.
He was the first one you brought on the show.
I remember we caught Jerry Saturday before the Super Bowl, called him at his hotel room, missed him. He called us back, said, hey, Doc, you know what I mean? He came on back and did another show, said, only for you. Great guy, great coach, and there's so much pride in him for what he's done. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Ritter Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network, the show. And I guess we'll be about
ready
to wrap.
Doc, I want a little credit before you continue, Doc. I want just one little bit of credit. I want to brag a little. I want to give just a little credit to the defense and someone that I think I was the first person to mention this
name.
Come
on, Rooney. Knock it off. Knock it off with
this corner, Doc.
Hey, Rooney, knock it off with this Pierre kid, okay? Knock it off.
The man is headed for the Hall of Fame, Doc. I told you when I first saw him. And I'm telling you now,
you're right.
Jason Pierre-Paul is the future Hall of Famer.
You are 210%. And I remember the game he had against the Cowboys. And Chris Collinsworth said after that game, I'll never forget, he said, this game alone makes him an all-pro. You know, and here's a guy, didn't start playing football until, I think, high school or college. Had no idea. And one thing you said, too. He said when he learns how to play the game, what a monster he's going to be. When he learns how to play the game.
Well, he's really playing on instinct, Doc.
He's really
just learning the game. He's in his infancy, if you will. And right now, Doc, he's playing on pure physical powers, Doc. Once he learns the actual game, Doc, barring serious injury, he's going to be awfully tough to deal with.
Ladies and gentlemen, right from the mouth of Mel Schottenheimer. Inside scope. Gang, we're going to, get ready to rock. We want to, again, mention what's happening forthcoming here on the Blake Ritter Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network, the show. This Sunday, it's Aunt Jules' Bedtime Story. She's on at 7:30 to 8:30, and it's for moms and family. At 9 to 11, this Sunday. Sports in Depth with the whole crew right here. You heard them. We'll be on 9 to 11, and we're looking to have Akeem Jeffries, Assemblyman out of Brooklyn, on the show with us. And then on the next day, Monday, Neil Blake online. His guest will be Angela Johnson. That's a 10 p.m. start. And then the next day at 8 o'clock, the Abdullah Show, and she'll have Denise Nichols. That's the 22nd. And then a alumni from SCR from Radio, Brown Sugar, the Sugar and Spice Show, and that starts at 6:30. And as we also told you, we wanted to say happy birthday to Ray Charles Leonard, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Lou DiBella. Thank the Mambo Kids for being with us, and also the First Lady of S&M, and of course GJ, Mr. Greg Jones, for joining us. Remembering Donna Summer, there was nothing bad about this girl, and she was quite unique and quite special. And we also want to remember www.blakeradio.com. You want to make a donation, and as we talk inadvertently during the course of the show, Trust in God, Sports in Depth, Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame, DocStanleySports.com. Hit that site, and you can take a look into the Hall of Fame. We'll be back here, good Lord willing, as they say, the creek don't rise. We'll be back here on Sunday, 9 to 11. Times may change, so check. Sometimes we do a little earlier show. But as of now, we want to thank everybody for being with us. And always, it's the Boxing Way with Lady A. And we'll be back, like we say, the good Lord willing, on Sunday. We gave you the shows that are going to be premiering up. And then we thank always the CEO of Blake Radio, Mr. Neil Blake, and the First Lady of Radio, Deidre Shuler. And the show tonight, the Boxing Way with Lady A, with the First Lady of Sports, the one and only Lady A. Gang, I guess we're going to slide a little bit, and we're going to let Larry Hardesty probably say goodnight. Quick thoughts, reflections one more time. Everybody, happy birthday one more time to Ray Leonard and Lou DiBella.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ray, Lou. Any more?
Happy birthday, Ray and Lou.
Ray Charles Leonard and Lou.
That book out, too. I got to get his book, too.
Great book. They always said that, you know, DiBella always says, you know, my brother forever came up from HBO, been a positive, you know, a positive aspect, a positive interjection into the sweet science, and guy that dispels that rumor about the so-called dirty and seedy business of music. Three thoughts for you. Muhammad Ali, service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. The one that Larry Hardesty likes, life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King. Live your life today as if it's stand before God tomorrow. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Hoopster, G, Lady A, we're gone. Mel Cosell, tell everybody good night, and then Larry Hardesty is going to have the final word.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Till next time. So long.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Sports in Depth. Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Panel members tonight, the First Lady of Sports, Lady A. Of course, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., G. Jones, Greg Jones was there. The Mambo Kid joined us tonight. And the Hoopster, extraordinaire, basketball legend from Brownsville, and SM Lady, Alex Meninos. And we remind you, www.blakeradio.com for a donation. DocStanleySports.com, if you want to take a look into the Trust in God Sports in Depth Entertainment Artifacts Museum. And you want to hit the doctor personally, it's DocStanley@AOL.com. Live your life today, as if you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is what you pay for your space on earth. Sports in Depth will be back on Sunday, the 21st, from 9 to 11 o'clock. Other shows that will be on in the forthcoming week on this coming Sunday, on the 20th. Excuse me. It's Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories at 7:30, and then 9 to 11, it's Sports and Death with Doc Stanley and the Posse. The next day, the 21st, is Neil Blake Online with guest Angela Johnson. And then on the 22nd, Denise Nichols is the guest on the Abdullah Show. And then Sugar and Spice on the 23rd at 6:30. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God. We say happy birthday to Luther Bella. Happy birthday to Sugar Ray Leonard. And our prayers and thoughts and memories of the late, great Donna Summer. Trust in God.